Kulet and Fopi
on Kaya 959, on the street, on the air.
19 minutes to go before we hit the 7 o'clock mark, and you can keep your tweets and thoughts coming through, especially just in terms of how you've been coping, right, with the few rands that you might have in your back pocket. I do see a very intriguing tweet by Butsilo Keletsane, who says, when my two-year-old boy sings the signature tune to your show, it's going to be good. Well, you're right, Butsilo. That's exactly what we always aim to do, to ensure that we give you a great show, one that helps you understand the business dynamics so much better, and of course, hopefully, implement better strategies to manage your money going forward. But speaking of strategies that we need to consider, how many of us have been considering a holiday? Whew, or some time away, even if it is to get away from load shedding or many other problems we have. But the truth is, in order to travel, you need money in your back pocket. And the money we have is our local rand. And one thing that we need to be cognizant of is that in light of the global news flow, our local currency has been under a significant amount of pressure, so much so that we were flirting with levels around 18 rand and even breached that level earlier this week to the US dollar. We've been feeling pressure against the pound, but it's also important for us to understand how these international currencies have been performing in light of the economic climate. So to tell us more about this, and of course, whether or not it's a good time to travel with your rands, but also put things into perspective as to how other global currencies are performing, we join on the line by Jimmy Moyaha, financial consultant and independent financial analyst. Jimmy, always good to have you on the show.
Good evening, Gugu. Good evening to our listeners. Thanks for having me.
Fantastic. I saw your tweet saying Gugu wants to travel, getting away from load shedding. It's bothering me, and you are right. It is bothering me. And a short lift is definitely needed. But man, oh man, when I look at the international currency crosses, I get a little worried. So before we talk about where to go, maybe let's put things into context regarding the weakness in our currency, why it is that it looks like it's dollar strength, and at the same time, why the British pound has been under so much pressure.
Yeah, so I mean, from the dollar's perspective, it's not necessarily that it looks like it's dollar strength. It is dollar strength. We're sitting at 18 rand and 2 cents to the dollar. Right. The dollar is acting as a safe haven in times of absolute turmoil in financial markets. You're seeing unprecedented inflation levels across the world. You're seeing interest rate hikes across the world. I mean, last week we had 13 central banks meeting last week to increase or adjust or announce around interest rates and their decisions around that. We know we've still got Bank of India expected to increase interest rates later this week as well, so that'll bring that into fold as well. But if you look at the whole landscape of where we're sitting globally, the dollar, because of that huge stimulus that they put out into the market, and because they've been the leading conversationist around the inflation conversation and the interest rate conversations, and all eyes have been sort of focused on the central bank, it's given the dollar a lot of strength in recent times, and we've seen that relative to all currencies. And I mean, you mentioned the British pound, mm-hmm. and what's interesting about the British pound as well is the British pound to the dollar had one of its biggest moves last week following Britain's announcement around their stimulus package. And it wasn't a move in favor of the pound. It was a move in favor of the dollar. We basically saw in two trading sessions a market move that we typically see over the course of a week happen. So it was a significant move. I mean, we saw pound USD sitting at it was around $1.14 or $1.15 per pound, and it dropped down to as low as $1.03, almost at parity. So, and that was between Friday night and Monday morning when the Asian session started. So we've definitely seen some increased volatility in the markets and in the financial space, but the dollar's strength has been undeniable. I mean, we've seen the dollar index has been at almost all-time highs. It's breached all-time highs, and it's almost at 20-year highs in some respects. So it's definitely been dollar season without a shadow of a doubt. And it's to the detriment of other financial currencies, unfortunately.
Yeah. And a reminder, I guess, for us to remember is that that's essentially because it is a safe haven asset, right? The world likes assets that through volatile times have been, quote unquote, guaranteed to at least protect their capital. So it doesn't necessarily speak to the concerns or fundamentals that we see in South Africa, like load shedding or even our bleak economic outlook.
No, not at all. I mean, it speaks more to the global concerns. I mean, we've got global risks of recessions. I think we're at about an 70 to 80% probability of a global recession. We're at a 90% probability of a European recession. We're at increased chances of stagflation occurring in the UK. And this all speaks to the global fear and the global uncertainty and the fact that that, coupled with rising inflation that needs to be kept, we've heard all central banks come out this week, last week and this week as well, to say that even though interest rates are going to continue increasing, they're going to be held at sustained levels, at high levels, because not only does the inflation conversation need to start to cool down and inflation need to start to sort of peak, we also need inflation to then come down. Mm-hmm. So central banks are saying, even if we stop hiking rates, we're not going to start with decreasing rates anytime soon. We're going to hold them at elevated levels so that the inflation can come down, and then we will then look to those decreasing interest rate conversations. So for the outlook for some countries, I mean, Japan, for an example, one of the countries, Japan's come out and said that their guidance for the next 2 to 3 years is they're not going to do anything with their interest rates. They're one of the only countries in the world, I think they might actually be the only country in the world following what Switzerland did last week, that still has negative interest rates. And they're saying for the next 2 to 3 years, they're going to let the market sort of play itself out. They're not going to interfere too much. And their guidance there is they want to keep interest rates at low levels to encourage their economy to recover. So that rhetoric is being echoed. It is not being echoed around the world, but what's being echoed around the world is all central banks are saying we're prioritizing inflation. Mm-hmm. And if you guys suffer in the short to medium term, that's okay, because we're trying to get it back down to manageable levels for a long-term goal.
Sure. Yeah, very different view and stance that they happen to be taking there. I'm keen to get your thoughts on Argentina as well. We know that things are, sure, not great in South Africa, but boy, oh boy, they are even worse in Argentina.
Yeah, so from South Africa's perspective, I mean, we are still one of the best performing emerging market currencies relative to other emerging market currencies at the moment. And that's largely centered around where our inflation levels are sitting. So, yes, it is cheaper to go to Argentina now if you are traveling. It's probably about 20 to 22% cheaper than it was about a year ago if you want to travel to Argentina. But what you must take into account is since then, inflation in Argentina has gone up to 80, almost 100%. Yeah. The same for Turkey, is that it might be cheaper to travel to Turkey, yes, because the value of the rand might be worth more, but inflation in that country is a lot worse than what it was a year ago. So that's something to take into account when you're looking to travel to those places, because much like a country like the UK as well, where we've got people saying that there's concerns around the rand is performing well against the UK, but if you look at the UK's inflationary situation, they're at all-time highs. They haven't been to 10% in well over 10 years. So it's a relative thing that you have to look at, and it's all about contextualizing in the scheme of things, in the global picture, in the bigger picture, where does that position your rand, where does that position our currency, and where does that position South Africa relative to our emerging market peers, but also relative to the global situation.
Exactly. I'm glad that you provided that context, right, because one doesn't just choose a great holiday destination purely based on these economic fundamentals. It's also, I guess, the energy, the vibe, the experience. But this is important for us to understand as to why it is slightly cheaper to go to certain destinations versus others. So, Jimmy, you've already told us about Turkey, but if one is looking to stretch their rand, where should we potentially look to go to make sure that we really get a competitive rate in terms of exchange rates?
Well, I mean, from an exchange rate perspective, so like I said, there's a couple of places that are cheaper to go to than they were this time last year, if you have to look at them. So places like America and Canada, I mean, America for one, it'll cost you about 20% more to go to the U.S. now than it would have a year ago. But if you look at a place like Japan, which we've mentioned, it'll cost you 8% less to go now than it would have cost you to go a year ago. So your rand stretches a bit further going to places like Japan. But I think if you're going on holiday, you probably want to be looking at, of course, you have to take into account things around weather and some areas have got monsoons to contend with and uncomfortable rains and that sort of thing. But countries in Asia like Indonesia and Thailand, your typical holiday destinations that would ordinarily be really, really expensive are surprisingly cheap because, one, the combination of the fact that it might not be their best weather season to travel to. But two, a lot of those countries are economic tourist countries. So the center of their revenues and where they build their bulk of their incomes comes from tourism. And because we had a lockdown for 2 to 3 years, they're still trying to recover some of the funds from there. So they're offering you really good deals and that sort of thing. So you might find easy bargains that might be very attractive to go there. But I think if you're looking in the context of things, I mean, a country like India, where, yes, it does cost you about 8 to 9% more than it would have last year, you're still getting a 1 to 5 for your rand. It's still 20 cents for every rupee at the moment. So 1 rand will probably get you about 5 rupees. And that's still a relatively affordable cost of travel if you want to look at that. So even though it costs you 8.5% more than what it did last year, it's still a relatively affordable destination to go to.
Definitely. And I'm glad that you're giving us some, you know, these recommendations and also understanding the context and the lay of the landscape. And as you say, because we're not used to perhaps those price points in our personal capacities, we don't feel the inflationary pressures as much because of, I guess, the resilience of our currency against some of these countries and emerging market peers that we actually are describing this evening. Jimmy, I guess I'm also keen to hear your perspective again for many South Africans who might think, well, with all this volatility that's in our local currency, and all these pressure points, surely this puts South Africa or the rand in a more negative standing, right? I guess when it comes to trading conditions. But help us understand how, I guess, this volatility might continue to actually work in our favor, specifically for those who trade with international counterparts and earn their revenues in foreign currency.
Well, the rand has actually been one of the best performing currencies for the year. So if you look at it from, again, bigger picture, you look at it from a year perspective, it's been one of the top three performing emerging market currencies against the major currencies in the world, right? Now, the recent things that we've had over the last month have definitely made it one of the weakest performing currencies in the last month. But a large percentage of that has been due to the load shedding. It has been due to the energy insecurity in the country. People can sort of draw parallels and say, no, but how is Eskom related to that and that sort of thing? And it's very simple, is that energy security within a country drives investor confidence, drives consumer confidence, and drives the economy. And if you look at the energy crisis that's happening in Europe, and you look at the fact that energy prices in Europe are anywhere between 300 and 600% higher than where they are accustomed to being because of the Russia-Ukraine tensions, you can see the level of insecurity and instability it creates there. So what more for the South African rand, where we're seeing that in some cases we recently had probably about 12 hours of load shedding under stage 6, if I'm not wrong.
Yeah.
So that was half a day of load shedding. So the main driver, and one of the main drivers around the rand's weakening in the last month, has been around that. But overall, for the year's perspective, if you look at where we're positioned, you look at the fact that South Africa's inflation is sitting at about 7.6%, down from 7.7%. But our core inflation, which strips out the effect of fuel and energy, food and fuel prices, that actually dropped. So core inflation moved from 4.6% down to 4.4%. And that really is a more telling sign of where the inflationary picture is, especially if you look at the fact that the U.S.'s core inflation in that same period went from 5.8 to 6.3%. So the U.S.'s core inflation actually increased, and that's a big inflationary concern for them there. So relative to other currencies, the rand, even though it doesn't look as great, I mean, last time I checked, the rand to the dollar was 18 rand and 2 cents. The rand to the pound was 19 rand 26. Against the euro, it was around 17 rand 27. Those are not happy numbers for anybody. Mm. But relative to where we're sitting against the rest of the world, the rest of the emerging market currencies, what's happened with the Chinese yuan, what's happened over the course of the year, the rand is still providing an attractive alternative and an attractive investment opportunity and a trading opportunity for some.
Sure, got you on that one. Jimmy, I think we've really given us some great perspective in terms of understanding the currency crosses and some of the dynamics and influencing factors here. And of course, maybe just a few more tips, right, as to where we can go for more affordable holidays and maybe spruce up our Instagram pages. But on that note, Jimmy, we'll leave it there for tonight. Really appreciate your insight and your time and perspective that you've given us on understanding the currency crosses and flows and how it does impact perhaps even our holiday making decisions. Thanks again.
Thanks very much, Kunga.
Awesome. That's Jimmy Moyaha, who's joined us as an independent financial analyst, helping us unpack a very interesting story that was first published on Business Insider South Africa today, highlighting that your rand won't get you too far if you happen to travel to countries like the US, given the dollar strength that's taking place there. But if you consider perhaps even Japan, Indonesia, even some of the likes of Turkey, that's because our rand is slightly more competitive for you to travel there, despite the fact that inflation itself has gone up significantly in some of those regions.
Kaya Biz with Kugule Tumfupi, Monday to Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. on Kaya 959.
On the street, on the air.